That was a show. But okay. Yeah.
You're good.
So, okay.
You're good.
Am I good?
You're good. Yeah, I've been watching us for this
We'd
whole
be good. What?
So, hi, and welcome to the other
room. No.
No, we have to have that either.
Yeah, fine. But I need him to explain what just happened.
I was just, I don't
understand
know.
Understand that just, you're drunk just, on Christmas cider or whatever
that,
it is.
Yeah,
don't let that
I have too much sugar in the system. It's all chocolate, Damien. Right now, there's no blood in my veins. It's just pumping chocolate. Right. Yeah.
There's a little marshmallow too.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, this is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I'm Andrew.
I am Damien.
And I am Douglas.
Yes, he is.
And you're actually Damien.
Still Douglas.
Damien, I forgot
here.
To ask
oh
you
my goodness.
If you listened to the last one. Like, mm-hmm. No? Okay, alright. Sorry, I'll leave you alone.
So freaking busy.
You guys killed me off, didn't you?
We tried.
Oh.
But you ended up calling in and mm-hmm. you know refuting our claims, and it was yeah. So,
anyways, 2013 is over officially.
Finally, fuck that year! Holy shit!
And I think a bit earlier than usual, we're sitting down to do our top 10 of the year gone by. We usually try to wait a few weeks because we're bad with movies. We're bad with current movies. But I forced us. I've said, guys, we're doing this quick.
Well, last year was so shitty. We just went, you know what? Let's just get this over with. Get this horseshit.
Douglas is still discovering movies to put on his list
like,
with all
right, movies. I remember them.
You remember those.
No, you don't.
I tend to ask this question before, and I guess we'll have a lot of the overlapping stuff for this question, but is there anything that you want to say, like, before we start going into our favorite films of the year, as to movies that you think might have hit the list but you didn't watch for one reason or another, or we didn't have the opportunity to watch?
Oh, there are loads of those.
We have a lot of the December releases overlap.
So, December.
Yeah, there's lots of December.
Oh my goodness,
I really want to watch that movie.
Like, those movies we haven't seen. Right. Like, the new David or Russell movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, none of that. Anything that came up.
But is there anything
Wolf
else?
Wolf on Wall Street. what's the other one? That isn't Wolf on Wall Street, but clearly
American
is.
Hustle.
American Hustle.
The new David O. Russell movie. But is there anything else that maybe you're seeing people talk about, but you just didn't find the time to catch to? You get caught up with?
Is it Winnipeg? There is something that is just the name of a place, is the title of the
Nebraska?
Movie. Nebraska. Right.
Yes.
That's a new Alexander Payne film, which
Nebraska is the one that people are going, yeah, Nebraska! And I haven't. And we probably will never see it. At the rate that we're going, probably won't ever
probably
see
never.
Yeah. I'd like to see that.
I still haven't watched enough said.
You're bad people.
I'm a bad person. Douglas, anything?
Yeah, there's a bunch of movies. I think... Alright, let me really think about this. The movies that I definitely wish that I have watched... from this year,
Prisoners is one. Actually, I have you seen this, Damien?
Yeah,
while you're shaking your head,
yes,
I've heard so
I
many
have.
Good
like
things.
Prisoners?
I've heard so many good things, but for some reason, that's a movie that I went into saying this is gonna be bullshit.
Right.
But people have changed my mind in terms of
this
wanting
hype.
To watch it.
This is the hype that I heard.
Yeah.
And this is where the movie is. It is over the hype.
Prisoners is a really good movie, I think. But at the same time, when I finished watching it, I was like, yeah, it was good, but it didn't make me fall in love with it.
That is just ditto that. But remember, the hype was there. This movie is incredible. And if you watch these two actors, and
I guess it helps a lot that it looks really pretty because Deakins did the cinematography for it.
Mm-hmm. So I had people over and there, I showed them Source Code. And when the movie started, people were just complaining. This movie, it's just people on a train, and then the train exploded, and everybody's like, haha, I gotcha. And then they kept watching it, And at a certain point, the whole house went quiet because everybody was. And then. Where the real ending of that movie happened, people were cheering in the living room. Then that movie kept going, and just furious people complaining for the whole, like, extra 10 minutes of that movie. Just, And it was so good to watch. Just even normal people that don't know shit about movies knew where that movie was supposed to end. And they refused. But I still like Source Code. The movie's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. Gyllenhaal is really good in Prisoners.
Right. He's the link.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyways, I think I'm going to start off the list. Going through our top 10 films of the year, and my number 10 is a film which I made us watch very recently, which was like, because I told you guys I made my 10 list like 2 weeks prior for the Critic-Wire submission, and every movie at that point it was no longer a movie where I had to take, I'm going to go into this openly, this movie had to break my list, right? And this movie is the one that did it finally, and it's Fruitvale Station. Because I mean, we talked about it and we talked about it at length, but it's kind of amazing, just as a movie which takes us through loving this character to hating the world to all of these amazing things. And I also kind of give it half an extra point knowing that it's the first feature film of this guy, Ryan Coogler, because we just don't expect that anymore when we see first time filmmakers. We expect some trash and then they learn along the way and we find something amazing five films down the road. But when you hit it out of the park like this on your first time, I have to give you all the applause, all the cred, everything in the world, because this movie is fantastic. And I now hate the world more because it reminded me of this thing.
It's pretty good.
Oh wow.
Okay, I'm next.
Sure.
Alright, so speaking of depressing things that make you hate the world, this movie, I'm putting it here so that I don't have to put it anywhere else on my list, because it was giving me too many problems to place. And so I just put it as 10 to get it out of the way, and essentially to get all the depressing, hateful things out of the way. Act of Killing is probably the best movie I've seen this year, but I do not want it to be my number one movie of the year.
That movie is special, Damien.
There's lots of things to like about the movie, and there's lots of people to hate in the movie. And really was finding it difficult to place this in the traditional top 10. But it had to make it. And so I was going, alright, you know what? I'm just going to pick 9 movies and then just have this as 10. Regardless. Because I don't want to have to deal with this anymore.
You don't want to have to think.
Yeah, not about this movie. So Act of Killing is number 10.
How many times have you watched that?
4 times.
Wow. Because no. I know, like me, I've become this kind of person who, if I watch a movie once, I kind of start to eulogize the experience of watching that movie more than trying to be like, I have to watch this movie 20 times. There are movies that I do that with, but you seem like the person who is always watching all of these movies all the while.
Right. So movies, none of the movies on this except one, because I saw that one really recently. I've seen multiple times, but I find that I don't like putting movies on any of my lists that I know I'm not going to watch again. Like, yeah, it's a great movie, but if I have no intention of watching it again, is it really that great? If it doesn't entertain me or intrigue me enough to watch it again, why would it make... I'll agree with everyone that it's a great movie, but it is not a great movie for me because there's no chance of me watching it again. So most of my movies I've watched multiple times because I'm that type of person.
Oh yeah.
And movies I love, movies that end up as number one for me, are the movies that I'm probably going to watch the most.
And
Looper. Oh yes, that's right.
Last year was Looper, and so many times I've seen that movie.
I mainly ask because I just imagine a movie like The Act of Killing, which I've only seen that one time that we talked about on the podcast so far. Like, it just seems like a movie that you don't want to watch that often. like the emotions that you would get pushed into.
I watch it with my sister twice, and then with my mother, and like watching it with them, because I think the way I think, I'm uber cynical, and so anything that happens in the world that will emphasize that are things that I'm naturally drawn to. So like, this is perfect for me, It's like, look, the world sucks dick. This is how it works. Everywhere. But watching it with people that aren't like that, who see this as not how the world works, but this grave injustice and this thing that should never have happened, and that they can't believe actually happened. Watching it with them gives me, you know, some perspective. And it is intriguing watching it with people who, like, they are probably more the target audience than I am, because they are absolutely, like, my sister was horrified. But, like, she had just watched the killer whale movie Blackfish. She's like, you need to see this and whatever. And I watched it. And I went, yeah. And she's like, what, David, what is wrong with you? Like, let me show you. Let me show you a real movie.
I can show you something wrong with the world.
Let me show you what is real. Like, people being dicks to whales is all well and good. I have something for you. I was just watching her be crushed by what she saw.
So, guys, yeah. Does it count? Do I get extra brownie points because I think I'm the only one here who's watched the extended director's cut?
Yes.
No. Because you're not the only one to have watched the extended director's
cut. Oh, yes, that's right.
Still haven't seen the 3-hour version.
I did, and then Damien, I remember we were talking about it, and Damien was like, wait,
what?
There's a longer version?
Right. That was instant.
Yeah.
Instant. We need to see this now. This is incredible.
Okay, so with my list, I did something that I don't think I've ever done before. I put on a movie on my list that normal people would have watched.
is this a testament to how few films you've seen this year? Or is this just that good?
I think it's a bit of both, because I actually did have some movies that I had to bounce off of this list, probably wrongfully so, in order to keep this one on. But also, on the other side of the coin, this was the movie that cemented in my mind a single actor that I despised, I hated. And slowly but surely, he kept coming up and saying, Douglas, you should probably, not for the right reasons, right? Not because I'm a good actor or anything, but you should probably like the things that I'm in. And I was all like, yeah, whatever, one and two movies. But this movie made me say, okay, Channing, I really like you. And number 10 is White House Down.
Congratulations.
Look, we gotta punch a hole in this fence soon or we're dead in the water. Weapons lock. Said there was a weapons lock in the back. Jackpot! What you got? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Take that thing, it's in your right hand. That's a blast shield. Perfect. Get me to the fence, Tail. I know you're into peace and all that. You gotta stick that thing out there and go to work. Damn right. Hold it with two hands, President. Here it goes! I lost a rocket launcher. How do you lose a rocket launcher?
Movie's incredible.
That movie is fantastic. And to keep with Damien's sort of thinking that, you know, if you don't watch it more than once, don't make any sense to be on the list. I have watched this movie because recently it's come out on TV, and lately I found myself for some reason just flipping through cable every once in a while, and I have probably watched this two or three times on cable alone. That is in addition to watching this in the movie theater. Andrew, this movie is great.
It is. And
it's not great like the rest of the movies on my list, but
It's a special type of great.
Mm-hmm. It's like when Damien put 2012 on the top of his
God
list.
Goddamn right.
Oh, this movie is so good.
So, are you going to let him out Emmerich you?
No. All right, okay. Guys, let's be serious. You think there's a world where that movie is not on my list?
So my number 9 is a film which I can easily say was probably... It's probably the movie that had me thinking the most this year.
Boo!
Damon's already like, nope, I'm not going to let this movie win if I eventually see it. And it's Closed Curtain, the film by Jaafar Panahi, which I got to see at the film festival this year in Toronto. And I think it kind of weighs on me more and more. The more I think about this movie, the more I talk about this movie. Because it plays with an idea that I'm very much interested in and continually finding more and more about, which is not just the world of movies and the art of making movies, but the actual willpower that goes into it and what will happen when you imagine someone so prolific as Jafar Panahi was when he is put in a situation where he's no longer allowed to make movies. And it's this amazingly layered movie where it starts out as a normal narrative, as just a weird movie where there's this guy in this house who's locking in this dog because outside in the world they're killing all of these dogs, and an uninvited guest comes in who just breaks his world apart, right? And it shifts eventually at one point from fiction to reality, and at the same time allowing fiction to stay in it, and it just blew my mind. Like, I haven't gone deeply into this guy's films yet. The only other one I've seen so far is This Is Not a Film, which a lot of people talked about as this great movie which talked about all of these things. But what I love more about Closed Curtain is it showed me all of these things. And I will forever be in love with it, and I can't wait until eventually I get to see this movie again. Because unfortunately, unlike all the other movies on my list this year, this movie has had no proper release date. It's only been in the festivals, and it has no scheduled date yet the future.
Wow. And Damien, that is your cue. Stop playing with yourself.
Fair enough.
At least he's not Jason rubbing himself during Mobius
discussions. Oh my goodness, that was fantastic. Have you actually heard that, by the way?
I was listening to it.
Oh yeah.
You're crazy people.
I'll see your Emmerich.
Okay, what are you raising me, Harrison?
I will raise you the rock. Guys, like White House Down, I'm going to take it off my list because Douglas already take it. I know Emmerich, it's not your fault, but there's a movie that finally achieved torque levels this year, and that movie is Furious 6. And I think it is magic. If someone came to young Damien and said, Damien, in the future, there'll be a movie so dumb that you will not be able, your brain won't be able to process it, and I'd go, take me to the future, please. And they did. Torque was the first one where I went, this is the best thing that anyone has ever committed to film. You can stop making them now. Torque did it. And for years, I sat in silence waiting
for Torque 2.
Waiting for Torque 2, but it didn't happen. However, Furious 6 finally gave up. They said, what if we stop making movies that make sense? What if we just make movies just for the hell of it? That is what they did. Oh, God, this movie. It is so good. Every time I see it, at a certain point, my brain just stops trying to keep up. You're like, damn, just stop. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Like, even by this movie's shitty logic, none of this makes sense. And then at a certain point, I just have to go, all right. Well, this is incredible, though. It's really good. I know that Paul Walker died, and that is sad. But let's be very clear. I want more Furious movies.
No, working on it. Don't worry.
Yeah, but they need to put them out stats. Just come up with some horseshit reason why he disappeared. In fact, don't even acknowledge it. Just have him in the shots that you have. And at a certain point, he just disappeared. What happened to Paul Walker? Who gives a shit?
You know, well, more Furious. So what they're saying is, like, you know, at the end when they're doing the big heist scene, right, and he's supposed to be, say, catching the rope, all of a sudden the rope is to be caught, and all of a sudden, you know, the whole heist fails
clips first, so he's like in the start and then just disappears in the middle and then just magically appears. But like, I'll accept that, guys. Don't sweat it. Don't rewrite anything. Just keep filming and put it up.
I read somewhere, which I don't believe, but just anyway, for the sake of talking,
I think I know what you're saying here.
Someone kind of brought up the idea that someone threw out the thought of, why don't we just ask his little brother, who looks a little bit like him, to do all of the rest of his bits?
He can't be any worse.
And when you do when you put up the picture, you're like, no, he doesn't look like Paul Walker.
But that is why it would be magic. Just have some dude that barely looks like him. whatever his name is, Yo Paul. Bob Vin Diesel on The Rock throw something to fake Paul Walker and just have everybody treat him like he's real Paul. I would just move on.
Wow. Anyway, I think we should not talk about this anymore.
Yeah.
And so to continue with my Channing Tatum theme,
mm-hmm.
I have a doozy of a number 9. And I just leave it at that. I won't say much more about my theme here because mm-hmm. I think there's a bit of a spoiler in that. But I actually watched this movie fairly recently. And it's not typically a movie that, again, I would put on my top 10. But there was just something about it that appealed to me so much. I mean, it's really funny. It figured out a way to pull my strings somehow. And you know, my strings don't like to be pulled. You know, it took the ice from my heart to watch this movie. And this movie is called Frozen. What did you think I was going to do?
I was on Channing Tatum.
yes. And
he's talking about appeal.
No, actually, no, I'm not. There is a specific scene
mm-hmm.
that is Channing Tatum-esque in mm-hmm. this movie.
They're Channing the Tatum
out of this movie. But this movie is great. I mean, it's Disney.
It's not here.
It's Disney on form. It's a musical, so I don't know
how.
Yeah, but please remember, both Lion King and
I don't
Aladdin
know
are and Beauty and the Beast. Almost all of their cartoons are musicals.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So by that token, this probably isn't a musical for you. Okay.
I don't know what
you're talking about. But there are two bona fide great songs in that.
Hakuna Matata.
Such a wonderful phrase.
That's not
a but but no, this movie is it's great. I mean, it's lighthearted when it needs to be. Some of the songs are just perfect, and they hit the right tones at the right moments. It's just marvelous, and it's just one of those movies where the people who love it are going to be behind me. The people who just don't aren't. And I'm not going to defend anything. This is one of my favorite movies this year.
I'll revisit that movie when it comes out on disc. Because I do blame a lot of what I don't like about that movie based on the presentation that we got.
Yeah,
I
that
thought
was
the 3D
annoying.
Was totally fucked in that
it
theater.
Was ridiculous. Andrew, I couldn't see anything. But that was,
and,
I think,
and the crowd was horrible.
Yeah, the crowd wasn't good.
We went on Boxing Night.
You
Boxing
guys expect
night.
Me to believe that a bastion of cinema like Karen.
Let's move on. Let's not even go any further. And I'm going to go into my number 8, which is a movie that I know you guys both despise. But
oh my god.
Still really like this movie. Like, this is the movie that I have watched the most times this year. I have watched it a grand total of 4 times.
Oh, I know what this movie is.
And this is it is Spring Breakers.
Oh, Andrew.
Mercy. The fuck is
this? More and more I watch this movie, the more I'm just like happy with it. Because it's one of these weird films where, like,
it's not good. But then James Franco is so good that you're discounting all of the other things about the movie. There's no other movie. It's James Franco's performance and it is incredible. And I agree, Andrew.
I'm bad as they is. Just in our blood, y'all. But I love it. This was my dream. I made it come true. This is the fucking American dream. This is my fucking dream, y'all. All this shit. Look at my shit. I got shorts, every fucking color. I got designer t-shirts. I got gold bullets, motherfucking vampires. I got Scarface on repeat.
Best movie.
Scarface on repeat. Constant, y'all. I got Escape, Calvin Klein Escape. Mix that shit up with Calvin Klein B. Smell nice. I smell nice. Ain't a fucking bed, that's a fucking art piece. My fucking spaceship, USS Enterprise on this shit. I go to different planets on this motherfucker. Me and my fucking Franklin's here, we take off.
Take it off.
Look at my shit. Look at my shit. I got my blue Kool-Aid.
Oh, you got your Kool-Aid.
I got my fucking nunchucks. I got shurikens. I got different flavors. I got them size. Look at that shit. I got size. I got blades. Look at my shit. This ain't nothing. I got rooms of this shit. I got my...
Andrew, I accept that James Franco's performance is incredible. There's also a movie that surrounds him, and I don't like any of it.
And I'm fine with that.
Yes, but
I'm okay with you not liking the movie.
I know. I don't want you to be. I want you to change your mind. Is it? I want you to. Being okay doesn't help me.
It doesn't make you feel any better.
It doesn't make anybody feel any better. Enabling James Franco.
So I'd go into more about things I like about this movie, but I feel like it would just hurt Damien's soul more. So
continue. Tell us why you love that movie.
Like, the last time I watched it, what I found myself focusing on more and more was the final monologue, which was given by one of the girls when she was talking to her mother on the phone, leaving a message. And she was talking about how she saw so many wonderful things here, and... like, it was basically coming down to this is true escapism, right? And I started to think more and more about these women and how they literally got to have this escapist adventure out in spring break. Literally at the same time we're hearing this monologue, we're seeing them shoot up all of these people on this compound. And it is the greatest escapism film because they have no consequence to anything they've ever done in this trip. And that is what America dreams of. They dream of doing the craziest shit in the world and never getting caught for it. And I kind of love this movie for doing things like that, inclusive of gangster James Franco being amazing. But yeah, I like this movie, guys. I really love this movie.
You're a bad person. So am I. Right. Now we get into the meat of the matter. The realness. This is a movie that I've seen the least, and it would probably have ended up high on my list if I've seen it a couple more times. This movie shouldn't feel any way, though. It's won all of the awards, so whatever. Finally sat down and I saw Blue is the Warmest Color.
Oh, you saw it? Nice.
And it is incredible. No shit. Like, no shit. Didn't it win literally everything?
Just
best
about.
Use of Blue in a name or something. It is always good to watch a movie, even though you've heard all the hype, and the movie still finds some way to exceed all that hype. It is incredible. You can just type it into Google, and there'll be people falling over themselves to tell you why it is the best thing that has ever happened in humanity, and how it has done more for... sexuality and women's relations. Right. But the movie itself is pretty good. It's actually incredible. It's a really good movie. The performances from these two people that I've never seen before in my life. It's outstanding. All the dialogue, all the camera work. Like, the movie just comes together spectacularly. And it makes... like, it is movies like these that makes me envious of Andrew and Douglas going to TIFF.
I didn't get to watch it.
I understand that.
And I'm angry.
You're an idiot. Movies like these are the movies that the only way I'd get to see them is to wait on long, long time or jump on a plane and go to one of these festivals. And when I watch movies like this, I go, we should jump on a plane and go to these festivals. And I'm sure I'll find more of these as this year continues. But Blue's the Warmest Color is pretty good. Recommend it to everybody.
Wow. So guys, it looks like me and Damon are both on the same page because it's time for me to actually start talking about normal proper movies now.
Douglas-y movies.
Yeah. And I am... so, just a precursor, a preface to this number on my list. You guys out there don't know because this won't even come out for another week, I'm sure. But Damien was late today. And I am so very happy, Damien, that you were late. Not only were you late, you were about like 2 hours late. And guess what I did in those 2 hours? I watched a movie.
What?
Because I was like...
Poor shit.
I said to myself, I need to beef up my... Because I took a break from work for the last couple of weeks and watched no movies because I was doing other things. So I said to myself, I need to at least try and, you know, have the opportunity to perhaps add one more movie to my list. And fortunately for me, it worked. I watched Ain't Them Body Saints a while ago. And Damien, Andrew, that movie's awesome. Casey Affleck, who I have just grown to love over the years, is, as usual, spectacular. You know, you have Rooney Mara, who is turning out to be really great. Everything I have seen her in, I
She's
love.
Been spot on.
Right? Exactly. I mean, it got to the point, I remember when I was watching at least her first big movie, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo,
yeah.
And I was like, is this really Kate Mara's sister? Because not because of the skill, which is another argument altogether, but I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, but just, you know, something as simple as the accent. I'm like, this woman cannot be from America because her accent seemed to me, I mean, I don't know a lot of people from that region, but seemed to be fairly spot on. And she just, again, just hit it out of the park with this movie. And this movie works on so many levels. Visually, it is superb. I said it to Andrew while I was in the middle of it. And I don't know how right or wrong I am, or if maybe I just have this odd impression, but visually, I looked at this movie and thought to myself that this looks just like another person who knows how to do visuals in movies perfectly. As much as we all hate, well, not we all, but you and me, Damien, really hate his movies, you have to admit he has a really
yes.
wonderful vision, and that is Terrence Malick.
Yep.
I watch this movie and I'm like, this is a Terrence Malick movie from the visuals to even, there were points where the soundtrack, the score itself, I was like, sounds very much like him. And you know, just even the way the story plays out, you know, you can look at it from so many levels. You can look at it as you could almost speak to a lot of this movie as a metaphor for this woman just getting rid of her baggage, or you could look at it in a straightforward way. Or Damien, this movie is superb, right? And I don't think there are very many things I can say are wrong with this movie. I honestly wish that this was a less good year so that this could be a little bit higher on my list, because I feel like it deserves to be. But unfortunately, I was able to see some good movies this year, and number 7 is where it's got to be.
So, if you think my list hasn't gotten weird yet, I think I'm going to...
Oh, yeah!
I'm going to enter the world of weird with this film that I'm sure 5 people saw, including the 3 of us.
Okay.
And it amazed me because you take away the mind control, you take away the pig surgery.
No!
Right? At the end of the day, this movie is just as important a relationship movie as the Before series are, about these two people coming together and these crazy set of circumstances. I'm not sure if he's trying to hang himself or he's about to hit me.
That's exactly what you said. Okay. Andrew, you just drove Damien to suicide with your horrible pick of a movie.
Because this
is tall enough in here to show myself up.
They use a doorknob. That's how they do it, you know?
Where Wallace at?
He's in Fruitville Station.
He was.
They should stop killing that dude.
Shit, he died in Chronicles.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
He getting smoked.
This is Upstream Color, the latest film by Shane Carruth. And this is one of those movies which has so many things which I'm already willing to say I don't quite understand. But I love the fact that there are things which I know the more I go into this movie, the more I'm just going to start feeling out things and just loving all of the weirdness that's put into it. So yeah.
What else?
Yeah, so we're comparing notes.
I'm
sorry.
Ignoring you. Because you picking shitty movies. I don't even want to hear it. Alright. Part of me wants to talk about this movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to speak about a movie that came out really early in the year that I've liked and still do like and think is absolutely incredible. And it is surprising that it hasn't made more top 10 lists like I've been looking for a while now, and most people have just kind of forgotten that this movie exists, and it's Place Beyond the Pines. I think that movie is absolutely spectacular, but we've talked about this on the podcast before. It's great.
That's a movie I've been meaning to revisit for like the last 3 weeks, but yeah. I just haven't. Like, I haven't seen that since TIFF last year.
Me too. Because I'm sad with the way I reacted to that movie. And I'm pretty sure, taking away my biases now, I probably like it a lot more.
That guy from The Hangover's in it.
Got you.
Yep. Okay, so guess what, guys?
Mm-hmm.
A movie got me to feel this year.
Boo.
That doesn't happen very often. And not only does it not happen very often, when it does happen, it's generally a bad thing. So I'm so upset that I'm putting this movie on this list, because it's a bona fide great movie, guys. There is very little wrong with this movie. But to call this thing manipulative would be an extreme understatement, right? Grossly understating what this movie does. And this movie is Fruitvale Station. You know, I think me and Andrew spoke about it on the podcast fairly recently.
I was here.
You were here? No, you weren't. I don't remember you here. But, guys, this movie is awesome. As much as I kind of wanted to punch the TV a lot, because they kept doing all of these things to say this person is the greatest person in the world. I'm like, go fuck yourself, guys. Don't do this to me, because I hate when you do this to me. And I still love it.
I'm scared.
Scared of what?
I hear guns outside.
You know what, baby? Those are just firecrackers. You're safe inside with your cousins.
What about you, Daddy?
Me? Maybe I'm gonna be fine. I'll tell you what, though. When we wake up in the morning, we're gonna play Candyland. And then guess what we're gonna do after that?
Go to the park?
Better.
Toys R Us?
Way better than that.
Why?
I don't know, maybe Chuck E. Cheese?
Really?
I promise. Daddy's gonna give you heck of tokens and we're gonna play all the games, okay? And then we're gonna get your favorite pizza and we're gonna eat it all up. Even mommy's, because she can't have carbs.
What's a carb?
You ain't gotta worry about that right now.
I still love it. This is great. Fruitvale Station, guys. Number whatever the hell we're at now.
Okay, so my number 6 is a film that came out very early this year. And it was a movie we were all looking forward to. I'm sure it's a movie that we will share on this top 10 discussion a lot. And it is Park Chan-wook's Stoker. Right, this movie, feels
not even
menacing.
Not even top five. Wow.
It just feels menacing throughout.
Yeah.
Like, you just feel this. And then when you finally get to that last end point, when she puts on the shoes, right, is when you realize that this movie, more than being about psychopaths, more than being pretty, more than being emotionally amazing, is all about realizing that she's finally grown into a woman, and she can finally say, fuck all of these things in my life that people said I had to do, and she can now be who she really is. And I adore this movie.
She's a murderous psychopath.
The movie's pretty awesome.
So someone tells me. Someone in the future will tell me that. Alright, so there is a summer.
Summer has
blockbusters.
Nice.
Just heads up, the next three will be summer blockbusters. So you can get all your bitching out of the way, sons of bitches. At number six, I am taking Elysium.
What?
No. A lot of people hate this movie. And in terms of blockbustering, it did pretty badly at that.
Was it all about the beard? Was it all about the Charlton Copley beard?
It was all about, that's all it was for me. It was all about reminded me of what I like about sci-fi. I like that they only have one premise. They're like, this is it. And then everything else is based off that. And that is the same thing he did with District 9. He just did a far better job at that. But I still enjoy the fact that he said, alright, this is what we're working with. And now, go. And then he just told one singular story. It wasn't beyond the reaches of space and time and all of this nonsense. It's just, alright, something terrible happened to him. There's terrible people in the sky. And when we go up there, bad shit happens. And they employ the worst human being in the world. And let us go. And they just told the story. And they had futuristic Bugattis, which they shot out of the sky and went, thank you very much. And they had Jodie Foster being the Jodie Foster I like the most. Evil Jodie Foster. I love her like that. But it was just... it was fun and it was engaging. And yes, it wasn't the best story that has ever been told about the future. And yes, there's a lot of manipulative nonsense. And, you know, it wasn't this. Like, I've seen a lot of people complain about what the movie isn't. But what the movie is a simple, well-done action movie. It wasn't on this grand scale. And that is what I enjoyed most about it. They told one story in the sci-fi world. And they told it well. And then the movie ended. That I could have done without
the
whole
saving
humanity at the end bit. That is the part where I think he took it too far. Like, he left that late. And it went too far right there at the end. But I was at the very end. And by the time I got there, I already enjoyed more. I mean, on the spaceship with the bomb. Like, when you saw that, you went, all right. And then when he came back, you went, alright, movie, congratulations. I'm not fully on board with your nonsense. And it just kept going, and I enjoyed it.
Actually, that was one of the things about that movie that went, fuck this movie. Oh,
no.
Like, when that happened, I was like, so this movie doesn't care. And I don't know, it's a difference between me and you and the movies we love, so I'm not really going to say anything to you about it.
Look,
but
When I read what people... like, you can tell me what you don't like about the movie. Because I've read a lot of people don't like this movie. And so I was kind of worried going into the movie. I was like, but this dude made District 9. So, like, really, even if it's not what you're expecting, at least it's going to be a good movie. It was more than a good movie. I enjoyed the shit out of that movie.
No, yeah.
Like, all right. There's something there that people don't like. I don't see any of that. And when I read, I'm like, sure, it's not. Like, most people are, this is what this movie isn't. Like, don't give a shit what the movie isn't. What about what I have? And what I have was great. And I like it. That's why it's number six.
Okay. So, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you for putting... just average movies on this list.
Fair enough.
But okay, so My number six.
Mr. Frozen.
Yeah.
Let's be serious now. Who's picked the worst movie on their top 10 so far?
Yeah,
let's point. Let's point one finger. He has a movie that is barely a movie on his list.
He has two horrendous movies on his list. Anyway, I'm willing to
overlook James Franco. I can see the Franco in his decision. That other one, though.
By the way, did you see his roast the other day?
Of course.
I watched that.
Oh, it's so good.
I like that point where he came up there at the end. And he was like, guys, I succeeded. Mm-hmm. I decided to make my biggest piece of art, mm-hmm. something of no value, no one will talk about, and stars all horrible actors. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that one. I haven't really been watching roasts. I just saw that one and I was like, I'm going to watch this one. Jeff Ross is special.
Yeah, Jeff, right. That is the one with Jeff Ross. Right. That is, right. I'm trying to remember. What was it about? And it was them utterly destroying what's his face, the fat one,
Jonah Hill.
Oh, they tore him to you. It was almost the roast.
Like I thought he was going to break into tears at some point.
Jeff Ross made a joke about the Tarantino Western thing,
uh-huh.
and he's like, "Oh, you had me at spaghetti." Right, he's like, oh, when Tarantino called Jonah Hill and said he wants him with a spaghetti western, he's like, it's okay, Clint, you had me at spaghetti. Tears with Jeff Ross is like, the only thing I'm sad about is that Greg Giraldo, he's also one of the big roasters.
Mm-hmm.
If he were at this roast, Jonah Hill would have to kill him.
But you know who surprised me though?
Holy
because
shit.
Like, first of all, I don't see him as a stand-up, and he didn't play it as a stand-up. It was,
the guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
No, not the one from... Even though him. I didn't like Andy Samberg. That was all. It was horrible, as far as I'm concerned. But it was Bill Hader.
Yeah.
When he came out of character.
Jesus.
Like I was like, oh, so this is going to be bad.
And he crushed it.
Anyways, we're distracted away from
this. Yeah, right. Wow. I want to watch that now. That should have been on my top 10.
Can you put it there?
No. My number six is yet another movie that I have seen extremely recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
I have to thank Andrew for... He didn't quite force me to watch it, but he gave me an extra bit of impetus to watch this movie.
I want to be that man when I grow up, when I'm old.
And this movie is The Great Beauty, right? It's just... This movie is... It's a dream to watch, to just look at. And even just the content, the story, which there isn't much of, actually, in this movie, it's just great. It's really asking the question that you mentioned the last time you talked about it. What is this man doing, and why hasn't he made more of himself? And there's no real answer to the question.
I feel like answer that question kind of well. And it's in that one scene,
mm-hmm.
Which I sat down with for
the last scene.
The scene I want to hug.
Uh-huh.
Right. Where he kind of tells off this woman who's putting up all these highfalutin things of life, and you should be responsible and all these things. And like throughout the movie, everyone's asking him, "Why haven't you written another book? We love your book. We love your writing." We even see that he's doing like editorial writing and interview writing for newspapers and magazines and such. I think it answers the question pretty well in that scene of sometimes life is just for living. Sometimes life, you can just be meditative. You can just, I'm not saying this is for everyone, but if you can, sometimes it's best just to walk around and just live life, as opposed to always be chasing after this ambition that people might have.
But what I really like about that movie is that, yes, that is an answer, but it's not the answer.
I know.
You know, and when you watch that movie, and I'm sure if I watch it again 5 times, I will see 5 different reasons. Because, you know, you could take that argument, which is perfectly fine, and I think is definitely a driving force in his life, just the simple fact that he is more than content. Actually, he wants to just enjoy life as it comes, and not worry about all the hard parts, you know, mm-hmm. the work. Like, you know, as he said, at the age of 65, he finally realized, you know what, it doesn't make sense to waste time doing things I don't want to do. Right? And that's great, but, you know, you can also look at it as another, on another plane to say, boy, you know, he was, and this ties again with the name of the movie, you know, he didn't want to write another book because he was in search of the great beauty, you know, and to write or to do anything less than that is just not worth it. And there are an infinite number of other reasons you could probably attach to the things that happen in this movie and what has kind of shaped this character and you know, what you see and what you maybe infer from some of the things that happen. And that's what's really great about this movie. It is, I mean, a lot of movies are subjective and allow you to take on what you want, but this one does it to the nth degree. And that's, you know, just one of those things. I love those kind of odd, even though this isn't as odd as it, some of my more favorite movies, but yeah, I love that about this movie.
I think that's the movie that I most regret that I couldn't find a spot for it in my 20. Like when I did my top 20, I'm like, but there's that movie. And I keep looking around, what can I kick out?
Like, I know two movies. That
So moving on to my number 5, to a more amenable film for you guys. It's The Act of Killing.
I hear that movie's pretty good.
And I think more and more when I think about this movie, what kind of makes me love it is not just the fact that it's this affecting documentary about this thing that, of course, I didn't know that much about, or that it's how it puts itself together and how, to me, the one moment which people always focus on is a moment late on in the movie when I can't remember the guy's name, the main guy is showing his children, his grandchildren, what he's been making, and you finally see that he has to pause and he starts to feel all of these things for himself. And people always talk about it as this moment where, unlike all films which try to make us as an audience feel empathy for people in the movie, we're finally seeing the movie itself show true empathy, right? That is one of the most amazing points about this movie, but more than that is how it presents itself as films within films by people who love film to express their own feelings, right? We watch movies constantly. All of the movies we're going to mention on our lists are, at the end of the day, people attempting to express their feelings on a subject or a thought or a whatever through the art of movies. Now we've gotten a group of people who want to express their feelings of how they were when they were killing off the entire of a country through not just film, but their love of film. People are making gangster films, musicals, all throughout this movie, and it's amazing. And what I always say about this movie is, more than everything else, it feels to me, like, of course I don't have enough knowledge to say this definitively, but it feels like new movies. It feels almost too new of something. It's something I've never seen in a movie before, and I don't think
you have.
I haven't seen the movie that this is based on, but I feel like it's something that hasn't existed before, and it feels special to be seeing this now. Like,
I still
this
don't understand, like, how he was able to get, like, I understand when he talks about the movie and tells us how he did it, you know, how he came up with the idea of doing it, but every time I watch it, I'm like, how did he? Like, how is this possible?
No,
like, this can't be.
Even to make that leap, right? So, you've already made a decision, and you're just like, hey guys, let's go make some movies. That's fine, right? And there's something special about how you did it, but that's cool. But just to one day, whether he was on the toilet, or he was, you know, driving home, or he was working arduously on this, you know, the plan for his movie, to say, wait, hold on, I can ask these people to make
these
movies, and then that will
literally get me and my viewers in their minds. I don't know where that inspiration came from, but that is just sheer genius, right? And just for that alone, even if the movie actually failed completely, that alone deserves some sort of lifetime achievement award.
It's magic.
It is.
We need to talk about movie magic. That is one of the movies. All right, from a great movie to more summer nonsense. Man of Steel is 5 because there's a summer blockbuster. I like more than it. It's pretty simple. There's a Superman movie that I like a lot. Like good enough to be number 5. I've seen it a couple times. Some couple.
Okay. I think I've seen that movie like 3 times this year. So guess what?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's why it's not on the list.
Alright.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
It's below the 10.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's. I agree with Andrew on that point.
Mm-hmm. How many times have you seen
it? Actually, I think I've only seen it once.
You have an SP,
so. Okay, so guess what, guys? I really like Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yeah, so I hear it.
Yeah. You know what? I also really enjoy watching Ryan Gosling on screen because he's awesome. Guess which two people worked together this year?
Was it Winding Refn and Ryan Gosling?
Oh, yes, it was, Andrew. And it blew my mind. Only God forgives.
Does he?
What?
Does he really? At the end of that movie, did anybody forgive anybody in that movie?
I don't think so. No, they didn't. Because you know
God
why? Because only God forgives. And God
was
not in that
movie.
God was
the guy with the machine.
No. He was the angel of justice in my mind.
Okay.
I love that movie a lot.
That movie was something special. I don't think the faint of heart can watch that movie and come out sane.
So, tell me, Mai. What line of work are you in?
I'm an entertainer.
An entertainer? And how many cocks can you entertain with that cute little cum dumpster of yours? What do you think of his line of work? I'm not talking about the fag boxing club. I'm talking about where the money comes from. You know what he does, right? He deals drugs, May. Heroin, cocaine. That's where the money comes from. That's how he can afford to pay you to fuck him. Oh, great. I'll get the crab, he'll have the spicy chicken, and May here will have a salad with a dressing on the side.
It's my...
That movie taught me many things.
Yeah. There is gratuitous violence.
Don't mess with Bangkok.
There is not much dialogue. There is not much sense to be made.
Oh, I think there's a lot to be made of that movie. That movie,
except for people like you and me.
Yeah, bad people.
Yeah. And I'm just going to leave it at that because this is one of those movies where I could whip out the Guillermometer on. And, yeah.
The thing...
Wouldn't it be more of a Venturier?
The thing
kind
that...
All right, scale?
Fair enough.
We can't... He has a movie coming out at the end. But Guillem is never putting up.
Guillem has a movie coming out.
He has a movie done. And she's supposed to come
out. But we've heard many things. No, I'm just joking. Like that movie, the thing that kept that movie off my top 10 is because more than every other movie that I've watched this year, that is the movie that I can point to and go, human beings won't ever watch this.
Yep.
It is, and it wasn't good. Like, when Von Trier does it, he takes it to such a far. Like, he takes it to such high highs that even though I know no one else in the world will watch this with me, I'm comfortable watching this by myself for an eternity. Only God Forgives. I kind of feel like there must be somebody that I can get to watch this. But no, deep down, no. Nobody is. And it's not good enough where I'm going. I can't watch this by myself over and over and over. I want someone to watch that movie with me. I know it's never going to happen. I know it. I'll come watch it.
No,
get
them.
Not you.
And then I'll sit beside you and tell you about how great Spring Breakers is.
And ruin the movie for me. You're a bad person.
So my turn again.
Yep.
My number four is a film which I adore. I think I adore automatically, and I adore on whatever the word is. I can't remember right now. And it's the latest film from Hayao Miyazaki, The Wind Rises.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, he saw it. The movie is...
Do you love it?
It's alright. I know where this is coming from. This is coming from his bias, and I'm fine with that because I have similar biases
pretty
for other people.
Are pretty.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you
so,
paint something pretty enough, small
so,
children
so,
will love
so,
it.
So Andrew, go ahead.
Wow. Miyazaki is a filmmaker that everyone knows for his adventure, action adventure animation films, which literally, I think, basically spurned America into creating Pixar because they were like, we need to be doing this ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Miyazaki was beating them at it, and he hasn't lost his touch at all. This movie is not those movies. This movie is a very adult, very mature, very somber biopic.
But there's cartoons.
About the man, Jiro, I can't remember his last name right now, who ended up creating the planes that Japan used in the Pearl Harbor attack. And I feel a lot of people out there are going to have issues with this movie only on that historical moment. To be like, I can't cheer for this person because he was directly... And I mean, the movie deals with this problem in kind of just explaining the fact that while he knows what his planes are going to do, he also knows that he's doing it not for that, but what comes after.
True.
What his innovation will do after all of these horrible things have happened. And I moved past it, right? I mean, those people, as far as I'm concerned, are going to hate every slavery movie that's ever made.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and to be
why
fair,
would you
right?
Why a movie based on that?
Yeah, exactly. And another argument to add to the, you know, pantheon of why this movie should not be hated just for that is then clearly you have to hate every movie about Harry Truman because he dropped the bomb.
Yeah.
You know, so... And there are all sorts of people who we have biopics for who have done horrible things. And guess what? The movie is good or bad because the movie is good or bad, not because the person is a disgusting person. Right? Or not, depending on who we're talking about.
Yes. If you can't make movies about people you don't like... We're going to need to stop making movies real quick. So.
Real quick. Yeah.
And yeah, this movie is great. I mean, I like even the few moments where you can see Miyazaki pushing a little of his comedy in here and there. Just in the character positions and gestures and stuff. It's great. I love this movie. Can't wait to see it again.
I still need to see that movie. Really want to see it. Now for my favorite movie. For someone, through process of elimination, you guys should have figured this out. Khan did it right.
Wow.
I weighed all of them. I still love Star Trek.
Honestly,
movies.
I thought Pacific Rim was about three.
No. Damien doesn't like Pacific Rim that much.
I like it, but
yeah.
They didn't go far enough where I, like, if they took it to Furious 6 levels. Like, and there's too much dumb. Like, the thing with the sword still annoys me. There's no way you wait till the end of the goddamn movie to turn that movie. That essentially what he made was Gundam Wing. And he said, I'm not doing any, all of the things that you want, I'm not doing any. In two, if they start out and it's just robots, if it's just robot kung fu the next movie, then one, it is the best movie of the year. I can guarantee them that.
Damien, stop. First off, just
yes.
Never touch me again.
Secondly, anyways, you were talking about Khan.
I like the best speech, the best Armageddon speech you've heard in years. So good, so good. But Khan is, from the second I saw that movie, from how the movie started, with, you know, it started and there was no Star Trek anything, it was just this man and his sick daughter, and then an explosion. And then the Star Trek shit started, and you're like, alright? And then it just went all over the place. It was vast, it was sprawling, there was all sorts of intrigue, conned, destroyed everybody, they blew up cities.
Who the hell are you? A remnant of a time long past. Genetically engineered to be superior so as to lead others to peace in a world at war. But we were condemned as criminals, forced into exile. For centuries we slept, hoping when we awoke things would be different.
But as a result of the destruction of Vulcan, your Starfleet began to aggressively search distant quadrants of space. My ship was found adrift. I alone was revived.
I looked up John Harrison. Until a year ago, he didn't exist.
John Harrison was a fiction created the moment I was awoken by your Admiral Marcus to help him advance his cause. A smokescreen to conceal my true identity. My name is Khan.
It was just like, when I think summer movies, it is this and it is Furious. That is what I want. Just crazy nonsense that can't be achieved with a small budget. There's a reason films need a lot of money, because at a certain point you can only achieve some of this madness if you throw so much money at it. And that is what I want. If you're going to make a summer action movie, do that, right? And if you're not going to do that, then come up with something better, right? But don't half-ass it, alright? Just go big, or don't even show up in the summer. Just stop wasting time. And so, I mean, Star Trek was, and I'm not a Trekkie, right? Because there's the other ones. I'm not a Trekkie.
Is that the other one?
Stop. But I love this movie, and I'm sad that the director has gone on to direct the worst franchise in movie history.
Star Wars is
very
back.
Sad. Hope that movie sucks. So I hope he torpedoes. It is my sincerest hope that he runs that movie. Like, I hope he does a John Carter to the movie. Just throws it under the bus and force Disney to spend billions of dollars marketing it in hopes to recover some money. Because it's still going to make back its money, because it's new Star Wars. And everyone will see it and finally go, Maybe we should stop. Maybe Damon was right all along. Maybe all these movies are terrible. And you just go home. Right? Right, Andrew? Oh,
guys are stupid. I know bastards. You're in the dark side.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Stupid fucking.
You shouldn't use the dark force.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good for you.
First of all, that is racist.
And with that, we shall continue. I just want to let everybody know that I feel like my top 5 movies in this list are special, right? There's something special about the top 5, but the top 4
mm-hmm.
are sacred as far as I'm concerned on my list. These movies, each in their own way, kind of did something to me. They, you know, that they went deep down into my soul and changed me.
Show me on the mic where the movie touched.
So, you know, and there is no movie better to start off
mm-hmm.
the sacred portion of my list than Park Chan-wook Stoker.
Goddamn right.
Stoker is one of the best movies this year. I mean, there's just no argument. Nobody can, you know, say to me, Stoker is not one of the greatest things that happened for movies in 2013. You know how I know it's great? And I know people like this guy, but I don't, right? I do not like Matthew Good. Right, I know there are other movies.
Brideshead Revisited, Watchmen.
All right, I haven't watched Brideshead Revisited yet.
Watchmen.
I have watched Watchmen, but he was not a big portion of that movie. He was not the reason why Watchmen was great.
Okay.
All right, I have seen him, however, in things like Leap Year.
I haven't.
Nope.
Things like what's the name? What's the name of this?
In
what's Match Point? He was in
wasn't
Match Point.
Wasn't he in the other one? Serious Man is the other one, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he's in
Single Man.
Mm-hmm. But again,
he's
not a big portion of that movie, and he's not why that movie is good.
Yes,
right.
That is true.
You know, and I just have been turned off by him for that reason. The bad movies he's in are really bad, and the good movies he's in, he doesn't move the needle, so to speak. And so for me to watch this movie and not just love this movie but love him in this movie, it's mind-boggling. And you know, any Park Chan-wook movie is kind of like a given, right? It's going to be great. But I had my concerns because, at least as far as I know, this is his first foray into the non-Korean segment.
His first English language movie
made specifically for the United States with what I would assume are U.S. sentiments in terms of, you know, the way the story is structured and what is in the story, what story he's telling, and it worked like nobody's business.
I rewatched that movie the other day, and I was looking through some of the special features, some of the interviews on the Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And they said something which I think might cue into why it worked so well, because it feels very much like all the Korean movies which we love.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that it's a movie with very little dialogue. Even if it's they always made it a visual thing, as opposed to, and that's why that movie works that much better. I'd almost want to use that as an excuse to say I think he could have made any actor good in this movie, right? Because
yeah, but it still takes.
I don't want to take too much away from them.
I understand what you're trying to say. I'm just thinking about him in the movie. Like, it takes a specific kind of actor to be equally charming and just creepy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not when you see a lot of actors, if you ask them, alright, be creepy. Like, he wasn't bearded up and wear like dark clothes and hiding. No, he was in full like normal people clothes, being charismatic, and the entire time he was doing that, you're like, there's something really wrong here.
So Andrew, back to a conversation we were having recently, this is who Robert Mitchum should have been.
Okay. My number three film is a film that I adore. And I think it's because, just like Douglas with Fruitvale, it made me feel. Like, in a way that I didn't expect this movie to make me feel. And this is... I think Damon's just expecting me to
know
more movies that I don't like.
I've just thought of two of the dumbest jokes imaginable. And my brain was like, after he said adore the first time, there was a dumb joke. And then he said make me feel. And my brain... Oh, God. I'm a bad person. I can't turn it off. I'm sorry.
It's a film by James Ponsoldt. It's The Spectacular Now. This movie, to many, will feel like any normal romance. This film about two teenagers who, kind of precocious, kind of just weird, but they still end up having this straight romance. But there's something kind of tragic about it. Because for the whole of the movie we're watching, we end up loving this girl so much and wishing that this guy will be so far away from her and is such a bad influence on her. And we're not so much caring for him to change as much as for this to end, right? And we see nothing but bad things happening in the future. And while bad things do happen, it's not on the epic scale that we imagined it would. And I just end up rooting for this couple, like, more than I should. Like I think this is 500 Days of Summer level of just people who you're like, I'm into this couple being a couple, right?
Jesus, I must have fallen asleep.
Here, let me help you up.
Where the hell's my car?
I don't know. Do you live around here, Sutter?
How do you know my name?
You go to the same school. You wouldn't know who I am.
I know you.
I'm Amy. Amy Finicky.
That's what I was going to say. Nice to meet you, Amy.
And I don't want to... I really shouldn't say that name because I know I'm already giving Damon, who I think hasn't seen this movie yet, a little too much to look forward to.
You can't take back 500 days. I'm very sorry. You've already... In my mind, there is a giant link
and
between
I think
those two movies.
Also, it's just another one that adds to the fact that I think Shailene Woodley, I think that's her name, Shailene or Shailene, who was in The Descendants as well, is just going to be a great actress. She has another movie coming out this year, which looks like it's a Hunger Games ripoff, Divergent.
Oh yeah,
and not looking like I think that's one that I'll skip and be like, okay, so that's her doing money. But like, I'm looking forward to seeing what she does in the future. Like, really.
I mean, that girl went from Winter's Bone, and now she's in everything.
She's terrific.
She is. All right.
So why isn't American Hustle on my list? Because Jennifer Lawrence is brilliant. Question.
All right. So now I have a group of movies that can't be one or two. That's one or two are set in stone. Can I have a tie? Can I cheat and have a tie?
All right. I'll let it.
My cheat and having a tie is The East.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And Rush.
I'll give you Rush because I like that movie is entertainment on a stick more than anything else, and I love the filmmaking of it. But The East, that's...
You remember me and Douglas' unhealthy relationship
exactly.
with the star.
And can I tell
movie.
You? Can I tell you? By the way, I'm very upset that I didn't watch that movie. For a long time, I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter because it looks like she doesn't really have much to do with it. But then I saw you
she
watching it.
The movie.
No, but hold on. I saw Andrew watching it, and I saw it in the beginning when the opening credits were coming out, and it said written by Britt Marling.
Yeah.
So how did I not watch this movie?
This movie essentially cements all my feelings about her and her movies.
So she's my Jennifer Lawrence, is your Britt Marling.
No, but I love Jennifer Lawrence too. There's no, I don't have anything. Like, watching this movie again and again and again, right? All it did was take two actresses that I have an, at this point, unhealthy relationship with, right? Both of them were in it. Both of them played their part spectacularly. And the movie is telling a story where by the end of it, it feels cheap and manipulative. But along the way, you don't see any of it happening. Right? And when the movie ends, I go, you guys could have come up with a far better ending than that. But none of that mattered because I enjoyed watching all the people. Like, essentially, the ensemble came together so well that I ignored certain aspects of the movie that I know are weak, but it doesn't diminish how much I love The East. I think the movie is fantastic, and I think anybody should watch it, if only to say, I've seen it and I hate it. Moving on from that, which I have to defend, Rush is incredible!
So just a side note, for The East, I don't actively hate that movie or anything, but the one scene in that movie which kind of caught me off guard, and I'm like, this is a fantastic moment, is the spoons. And it's kind of special, that moment where I'm like, oh!
When I saw the spoons, I went, this is going to be hippie nonsense, isn't it? And I just said, this is the last time, dude. Alright, fine. You got us, but just ignore this. We're moving on. Because I was worried for a second, I went, this is going to be like a commune and nonsense, isn't it? Like, I saw a better version of this with a girl that is a sister of two people that I do not believe to this day. There's no way that girl is one of the Olsen sisters.
I still
sisters.
Keep calling that
impossible.
Movie impossible. I just keep calling the movie
that. I keep watching it.
It's great.
Yeah, but Rush is like, it's spectacular. Like, you guys undersold that movie. Yes, I like it more because I know the story and I'm in love with Formula One. But that takes nothing away from the
and
acting,
Daniel
the directing. It is so good.
Yeah.
So good. And even if you have... find any reason
from
no,
Thor.
Listen, find any reason you need to watch this movie and watch this movie. Like, you do, I was going to say, even if you have a passing interest in cars. Like, you know, like, if you want to watch a movie, watch this, then watch whatever. Because this movie is only bested by two movies that are like, there's, it had no chance. Like, it was a waste of time. From I saw these two movies, nothing had any chance. Nothing. It was just a waste of everybody's time. Mm-hmm. No matter what you put, this was the only year that I don't think that Chris Nolan could have gotten into my top two. Probably the, like, unless he put out probably the following this year, it's the only, like, everything else.
They just re-released it and you're like, yeah, I'm counting it.
Yeah. He's like, Damien, yo Damien. But Interstellar looks in, I want to watch it.
Yeah,
movie.
Oh, of course.
So,
most
so
definitely.
Hard.
We all do.
But Rush is spectacular. My
so,
guys watch Rush.
As I said before, my top four movies here are sacred. And I think what separates them, they're really just kind of a hair length apart. And it's sad that, it's like picking your children. It's sad that I have to elevate one above the other.
You could just say your top three are all equal and just...
No, they're not. They're not, though, unfortunately.
All things are
you see, the thing about it is, Andrew, you're sad that you like one child more than the other, but guess what? You like one child more than the other at the end of the day.
Look, so. I like that one better.
So, unfortunately, there are actually three movies that I like more than Stoker. I know Damien does not agree with me.
I don't even understand what is happening.
But
right.
Look, I found a grand total of five.
I
yeah.
Like,
no.
You, no. I expect nothing yet. I'm surprised you even made your list.
I am drunk.
Please. Anyway, I won't even
yeah.
descend into this discussion.
Yeah.
But
I want to hear these three, though.
Yeah, these three
it's
are
going to be good.
They're beautiful. And I know that, well... You, I'm sure, already have it at number one, so there's
mm-hmm.
nothing that I could argue that puts any of these movies above. However, Damien,
mm-hmm.
my number three movie is a movie that I am glad that I accidentally saw. I went to something called the Toronto International
mm-hmm.
Film Festival.
Bad.
All right. And this was a movie.
I wonder if
anyone's
been keeping count.
Oh, I have.
I knew very little about, right? And for that reason, I was like, you know what? This movie isn't worth it. Let me just take it off of my... I think I had like the 30 package. Let me take it out of my package. I don't really need it. And in the end, it was essentially like one of those movies where I bet on it. I was like, you know what? Let me just put it in there.
Why not?
Right? Nobody really told me that, you know, it had won the everything at Cannes.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really told me that. Guess what? These guys are really great actors. Guess what? It's French. You know, nobody
yeah.
said all of these things to me that would have, you know, put up some
flags. Right.
Flags where I said, guess what? This needs to be in my... But fortunately for me, I was just like, yeah, let me just put it in there. Even on the way to the movie, when I was in the line, there were people just bad-mouthing this movie. Oh, it did so much of that, and oh, I was, you know, and I was like, really? Why? I wonder if I'm going to like this movie. And 2 minutes in, I was like, yes, I adore this movie. This movie is Blue is the Warmest
yeah.
Color.
Congratulations.
I think I just mirror everything that you said when you spoke about this movie. And just to say even more, because I think I put a little bit much more weight on this than you, is just the performances. Not even from both of them, but specifically from Adele. The performance of Adele just shows how great this actress is. And I think she's like 10. She's so young. You can see that she has this great career ahead of her. And this movie, I'm actually sad that they came up with a you know, jazzy English version of the title, because the what I think is a French title is more apt, right? The French title is something along the lines of The Life of Adele, Chapter 1 and 2. And that's really what this movie is, right? This movie is Adele before Big Event, mm-hmm. and Adele after Big Event. And it does that story, or those stories, plural, perfectly.
What I will say in defense of having it so high on mm-hmm. my list is that I had to watch it on a shitty screen.
Oh, okay.
And so I didn't see it properly, so I shit didn't see that tip. and so when a proper version of this,
oh, Criterion's releasing it in
February.
Right,
yeah.
So when I get a proper version of this, which I will get,
mm-hmm.
because even though I've seen it once, it is clear that it is one of the best movies
mm-hmm.
of the year. And it takes a lot for me to look past shitty visuals and audio to still see beyond that and just appreciate a movie for what it is and what I think it will be when I get to see it properly. And when I do, I'll be watching this movie again. So I'm not trying to say that all these big blockbuster movies are technically better movies than them, but I'm still Damien. And they blow up shit in those movies. There are some movies down here that it didn't have a chance against.
Part of that story for Douglas watching Blue is a Gourmet's Color angers me, because I knew all of those things
mm-hmm.
and wanted to watch that movie.
I went, no.
And by the time it got to me picking my tickets, it was sold out. Which is why I didn't watch it.
Mm. And you couldn't just jack some fool in the line, just stand up in the line. Look.
But
I'm
then again,
I am Jamaican, you're Canadian. I will kill you. Give me your tickets.
But then again, I have to admit that if I had seen that movie, I would not have gotten to see In Closed Curtains. So it's a give and take.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Andrew, what is numero two?
My number two is a movie which has been cemented in this spot since I saw it. And it's a movie I've been looking forward to over a year because people have been talking about it. It's by one of the filmmakers that we love. And it's one of those movies which everyone has been calling a technical marvel of the year, and it's Gravity.
So I haven't seen it.
Guys, I mean, we can compare this movie to all of the other movies about one person stuck in a situation where they have to use their self, just all they have on themselves to propel themselves out of their problem.
Is it better than 127 Hours?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Is it better than Moon?
No.
Okay. Is it better?
But I have a bias on that one.
And I have the same. That is why I'm asking.
I'm going to refuse to answer that question and call him different. I'm going to call him different.
What's wrong with this?
The answer is no.
Andrew, it is a simple question. If you had to watch only one of the movies ever again,
Gravity.
Okay. Better than Moon. Thanks for Andrew for telling us. Okay. So one for yes, one for no.
I mean, there are parts, like, it's funny, like, I remember when I saw this movie, like, I saw it just as a roller coaster enjoying entertainment movie where, like, the tension never stopped. Like, for the entire movie, you were going moment to moment of survival to survival.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stepped away from the movie and started to read the internet and listen to the internet. And see all of the things people were discovering in this movie and made me go, yeah, that's kind of there. People talking about religion, people talking about belief systems, as well as just general... I don't even want to get into the feminism argument that people get into with this movie, because I feel it's not really justified. But it's coming back. It's an amazing movie, and it's the movie of the last, like, 2-3 years that shows that, once again, when you put interesting film techniques, which is now 3D, into the hands of someone who knows how to make movies.
Oh, when you give
it becomes
a chance,
it becomes something worthwhile.
Yeah, well, when we started with Hugo, like when you give real ass directors and go, dog, let's make something
Hugo
special.
So good.
You get something special. But there's a lot of shit directors out there that don't know what the hell they're doing. But we've known this for a while.
Once again, another movie I was disappointed I couldn't get a ticket for at TIFF for the IMAX screening.
Yeah.
There was only one showing at the IMAX. They were like,
and
I sold out in 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretty early in the ticket schedule and I did not get that movie.
And you heard later on people were turned back at the
yes,
showing.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
And they oversold it.
Yeah, I'm going to stand up in the back and if you try and tell me off, I'm going to stab you to death. I'm going to die here tonight, so I suggest you let me in.
Oh, no, sorry. Right.
My number two, it is... I'm assuming it's going to be number one on all your lists because I haven't heard anybody talk about it yet. It is part three in the long-awaited three-part trilogy, the Midnight Quadrilogy or whatever it is. Guys, they put out another before movie and it is as spectacular as I think I like this one the most, which is like, when I saw it, because we all knew it was coming out, and we all had high hopes, because it's one of the before movies. And I saw it, and when the movie was finished, I sat there and I'm like, I know I like it, but I don't know, like, I'm not sure why I like it. Like, I'm like, is it just because it is
more before?
Right? Like, last year I had Lord of the Rings on it because it was more Lord of the Rings. But I had to accept that it wasn't as good as any of the other Lord of the Rings. So I went back and I watched the other two before movies. And watching them, I go, no, this is the strongest one. Like, this one, this is the number. The reason I love this is because I think this is the best of all of them.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
If we were meeting for the first time today on a train, would you find me attractive?
Of course.
No, but really, right now, as I am, would you start talking to me? Would you ask me to get off the train with you?
Well, I mean, you're asking a theoretical question. I mean, what would my life situation be? I mean, technically, wouldn't I be cheating on you?
Okay, why can't you just say
no,
yes?
No, I did. I said, of course.
I wanted you to say something romantic and you blew it, okay?
Okay, all right, wait. If I saw you on a train, okay, listen, I would lock eyes with you.
Uh-huh.
And I'd walk right up to you and say, hey, baby, you are making me as horny as a billy goat in a pepper patch.
Stop it. That's disgusting. Billy goat. No, the truth is, okay... You failed the test. And the fact is, you would not pick me up on a train. You would not even notice me. A fat-ass, middle-aged mom losing her hair.
Okay.
Yeah, that's me.
You set me up to fail.
There's, like, whenever I read people not liking this movie, it is one of the few movies that it hurts me. Because I know that those people don't have joy in their lives. They're bad people who are going to die alone.
I know someone who doesn't
on the
like
internet. But I think it's spectacular. And if it weren't for my number one movie, like, this movie should be number one. And it is surprising that I've seen not one but two movies this year that I like more than it. And it's kind of puzzling, but I'm kind of happy because it means that there are two movies that I think are really special. Like,
but this is number two for you,
right?
So
my real number one
doesn't
count. Right. It can't count because thanks to Andrew.
Okay.
But yeah, Before Midnight is number two, and like, since I saw it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is over. One and two are set, and I don't have to worry about this.
Yep. All right. My number two. Guess what, guys? A before movie came out this year. I'm actually so happy. I've never been able to do this.
I've never been able to say before X is in my top 10 list. Because they're all about 9 years apart.
Right.
And the first movie came out in about 94, 95, around
right.
that time. I didn't know. I was still in high school. Didn't know anything.
Right.
I had Carib to tell you what movies were going.
Exactly. So I didn't actually watch that movie until years later. I was in university at the time.
But that's all of us.
Yeah, of course. No. Yeah, yeah.
When I was watching Power Rangers, I said, you know what? It's before Sunrise.
It looks pretty good. Oh, yeah. But I remember watching that movie. And I remember loving it to death, of course. And thinking, this is the most perfect movie in the world. It is completely open-ended. You can decide what kind of a movie it is. Is it a great love story where two people find love? Is it a tragedy where you found love but you never have it again in your life? It was just beautiful. And I watched that not ever knowing there was a part two. By the time I had watched that, I think there probably was a part two, but I didn't know. A few years later, I realized there was a part two, because I saw a movie with this girl that looked really familiar. And hold on, that girl is the girl from that movie. And isn't that Ethan Hawke? Yeah. All of a sudden, life began again, and I was able to watch it again. And I watched Before Sunset, and it was perfect. It was even perfecter. It gave me the movie I wanted. Because it essentially validated my desire for the first one, which is, even though it took them 9 years, they got back together. And again, this movie left you hanging. Did he stay in France? Did he go home to his wife? What's going on here? And, you know, it kind of followed the same sort of rules as the first one, with the open ending, the beginning where they meet each other, and guess what, guys, they walk around and they talk. But, you know, it explored even more, because, you know, there was never butting heads in the first movie, and there was some of that in this, and it was just great. And I watched that movie, I finished that movie, and I cried, because there would never be any movies to be better than this one. And now I can officially say, I can officially put a Before movie on my top 10. And you guys don't understand how happy that makes me feel. Right? I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it right now. I love this movie to death. And the only thing that makes me sad about this movie is that it's not number one. Because it can't be number one. Because it just came out in the wrong year. Any year before this, it would have been number one. Probably any year after this, it would be number one. It just couldn't be number one this year. And that's unfortunate.
You've been voted out of president before.
I think we all are, because I'm pretty sure it's not Andrew's number one, and I know, because you just made it number two, it's not yours.
But so, I was in the president of the panel. I was secretary.
I think one of my favorite things about that movie and those movies, as when I watched this last one, I noticed it, was that progressively as we moved along, we discovered that the movie before was the story he wrote in his books, right? But within each movie, as you move along, he keeps pitching these ideas for other stories, and they are the worst ideas. Yes.
No, they're not. I agree with you that this one in the latest movie may be a bad idea, but I really love the pitch in the second movie, where he's talking about, you know, a single event brings back nostalgia goggles, and you live a whole lifetime in that. That was some deep shit, man.
Four of us.
But yes, this movie is not in my top 10 of the year. I feel almost like it's a fault of my own. I've only seen it once, and it, like, honestly, Before Sunset still remains my favorite. And this movie didn't eclipse Before Sunset for me, but I love it nonetheless.
Right, so Douglas, this youth. All right, let's talk about Andrew Pat before he gets his number one. So Douglas, right? This you not only found what, like 8 movies better than Stoker. He also found even more movies. Right? He's like, you know what? I like Stoker. I'm going to throw Damien on a bone. Show him that I still like real ass movies. Sure, I'm going to put horse shit in front of it, but that's fine. But you see, these before movies, I'm drawing the line here. Fuck those movies. Not good enough. Look, if you guys want me to like your shitty movie, you've got to do better. At least 10 movies are better than this. 10! Which is incredible. That's an incredible feat. You've done it this time. I remember this more than I remember the Dark Knight thing. Do you understand that? You won't ever live today, though.
I thought it was like someone in love that was the eclipse.
Dog, listen to me carefully. You have found your way around one of the greatest movies I have ever been committed to film. That ends a series of movies that you admit that you love, and you've gone not even close. You guys can go fuck yourselves with your horse shit movie. Congratulations. You have now, like, had there been any residual, you know, warm feelings towards you for the FP, you have just lit all that shit. I'm not even going to thank you for giving me the FP again. That is so much.
So my number one is the FP 2.
What?
I'm sorry, before I go into my number one, did you ever look at that trailer that I sent you on Twitter? Fury.
It looks adequately stupid.
Anyways, my number one movie of the year gone by is the latest film from Steve McQueen. It is 12 Years a Slave. Because, like, Douglas is shaking his head, and I think I can kind of put this akin to all of the Fruitvale conversation, where there are many movies like Fruitvale, and there are many movies like 12 Years a Slave, but at the same time, Fruitvale Station and 12 Years a Slave remain fantastic examples that those movies like them want to be. Mm-hmm. Right? 12 Years a Slave was probably the only film this year that almost put me in tears. It was there. That last scene when everything came to an end.
About 12 Years a Slave?
12 Years a Slave.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was ready to start crying in the theater with this movie.
Because for me, that was Fruitvale. To tell you the truth.
The movie is immense. And what I love what Steve McQueen does with this movie is he hits all of those same notes that you've seen with every slavery movie, but he looks at it very differently, in that he loves to take a pause in all of these horrific moments in ways that movies very unlike this would just cut away from. You would see it, you'd know it happened, you'd hate the world, and you'd get to move on to the next thing in like 2 seconds.
Cause I know we were traveling. You wish we'd die trying.
Survival's not about certain death. It's about keeping your head down.
Days ago, I was with my family. In my home. Now you tell me all is lost. Tell no one who I am. That's the way to survive. Well, I don't want to survive. I want to live.
This movie, it'll sit there and make you just have to look at some of the most agonizing things and feel for this guy who, like, I'm not saying the 1800s was a nice time for black people, but we start out with the movie with this guy being a relatively as normal as you can imagine any person in the world would have been as a free person, right? And I'm not, history has told us before that this has happened, this used to happen, this movie tells us this, but it feels somewhat more engrossing and more just emotionally painful to see something go from not just, oh, I've been a slave all my life story, to,
I was free and I was an educated man who did all of these things to someone fuck me over and put me into that situation and has to figure out how to deal with life at this point. Guys, I don't know if I can watch this movie again because I don't want to cry.
We're going to end up crying. I'll say it again.
They press pause.
Right. And they go stab a bear. And then they come back. Let's try this again, movie. Let's see what you got. I haven't seen your movie. But from what I've heard, you're wrong. No, I'm just joking. I hear that this movie's pretty good. I didn't like his last movie.
You didn't like Shame?
Not so much. Thought he was trying too hard. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't a great one. I still am, to this day, in love with Congo. And a lot of people have written about 12 Years a Slave and linked it to Congo. They're like, just like Congo.
There are a lot of similarities with how he looks at it.
Right. And so I cannot wait to see it. There were screeners floating around, but I don't want to watch it like that. I don't.
I saw certain people on the internet jump for joy. And just going, yeah!
Yeah! I'm like, shitty nonsense.
No, you guys.
Alright. You're finished, right?
Yeah, I'm done.
Alright, so I'm just going to leave this here. And Douglas can tell. My number one, and it has been my number one since I've seen it, is Toto. The man what gave us Old Boy made this movie, and it feels like it in every scene, in every word that is spoken, in every creepy feeling. You feel uneasy the entire time you are watching this movie. Something is wrong. You know something is wrong, and every time you try to pinpoint the extent to which the situation has gone wrong, the director takes you and goes, come here, son. I'm going to take you further and further. And it just gets to a point where when the movie ends, you're like, of course.
You know, I've often wondered why it is we have children in the first place. And the conclusion I've come to is, at some point in our lives, we realize things are screwed up beyond repair. So we decide to start again. Wipe the slate clean. Start afresh. And we have children. Little carbon copies we can turn to and say, you will do what I could not. You will succeed where I have failed. Because we want someone to get it right this time. But not me. Personally speaking, I can't wait to watch life tear you apart.
Of course, all of this led to this movie. Of course, this family is the worst family. Of course, she is a psychopath like all of them. And you just watch it and you cannot believe that someone has committed this story to... Like, there's... If this were a Japanese movie, I'd have gone... if this were a Korean movie, I'd have gone... Of course it is, because
it's Korean.
Right, this is what they do. They make fucked up movies and then they put it out in the world, and the only other thing they make that is good is Samsung horseshit. Alright, fine. You're good for crazy revenge psychopath movies and Samsung. And then he not they're soon be disappeared. And then he took all of those sensibilities. And he said, I'm going to find one of the most wholesome looking, nice, decent young actresses and turn her into the devil. That is, he accomplished, like, the entire time you're watching the movie, you see her as the victim. And when the movie ends, you go, no. No, she wasn't. At no point. She is not a victim of anything. She is that uncle guy, just way, way worse. She just didn't have the opportunity until right now. And as Andrew says, she blossoms into this woman. She blossoms into the devil, is what she blossoms into. And you watch it and you go, this is, like, the entire time you just go, this is so, like, how on earth? Who gave this fool money and sent him here to him? How did they expect this movie to make any money at all? Who thought this was a good idea? I don't know who he conned in order to get this done. So glad that he did. It is far and away the movie that disturbed me the most. And at the same time, I enjoy the, every time the movie ends, there's a smile on my face. Clearly, I'm a terrible person. But that doesn't stop me from going, this is done, and starting the movie over again. I've seen this movie more times than I've seen any other action movies that I've seen this year.
So I think three things I should say. Number one, I think one of my favorite moments in this movie, there are a lot of moments I love about this movie, but one of the moments which are just so tiny and I love is towards the end when the policeman is, mm-hmm. and you have that Psycho reference, that visual Psycho reference of the police officer's right. big glasses, and you see the reflection. I love that so much. You were just mentioning the idea of the Korean director, mm-hmm. Park Chan-wook, and the guy who did Old Boy, and I was just remembering how I came to Old Boy. It was the weirdest of things that we would never have said is how we came to a movie this nowadays. I remember hearing about that movie on Attack of the Show. and the guy who was doing DVD reviews every week talk about that movie for like half a minute. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I should look for that movie. And I think it was also because, like, even on the DVD cover, it says Quentin Tarantino Presents. Because when they re-released it in the States, mm-hmm. he, like, threw his name on top of it.
He's like, I am Quentin and I approve this message.
And, like, I don't know, like, I thank whatever nonsense logic I used to reach this guy and his movies. But yeah, Stoker, brilliant.
I heard about Old Boy, and this is one of the most fucked up movies of all time. I have to watch this. Of course I have to watch this. And I watch it and I mean, this is... It was only when we started doing this podcast I realized that that movie wasn't an outlier for them. That is what they make. We make this. This is our primary export. But I didn't, like, I assume that they are going to water down, like, him coming over here. There's just things that, you know, a Western, like any movie coming out in the West, you have to tone down certain things. You have to tailor it to the audience. And he didn't. He had the people in there, and on the face of it, you can go, well, you know, it wasn't as you know, violent or revengey as all, but no, there's no he had a story to tell, and boy did he tell that story. And I watch and I just love every minute of it. And it is movies like these that make me first hate the term cinephile, because they're the only people that watch it, and I don't want to call myself that because it's a terrible term. But it makes me understand why it is that having an appreciation of movies more than just the shooty blow up thing. why it is necessary, because, like, teenage Damien would have seen this and laughed. This movie is boring, there's no dialogue, you shoot like two people, fuck this movie. And I watch it now, I'm like, this is incredible. Acting, directing, just from top to bottom. The scene that made me realize that this movie was going to be something special was the scene where they're playing in the sandpit. I went, there's no way he's going. Look, guys, I know what is about to happen, but you cannot. This cannot happen. You're releasing this in the. You can't. And he just did it and just moved on like, of course I did. Of course. And you're welcome.
Exactly.
What?
It's like happening? He released the Kraken, but he didn't even say release the Kraken. Right. It just came out.
He's like, look guys, this is what I'm doing. And if you don't like it, don't watch it.
I know that's a better example of non-Hollywood kind of limits that he went past. For some reason, the one that touches me is the first time you see the belt.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like that, like just the way it happened, it felt.
Guys, you can't do this. This is not a Saw movie.
And also, like, I'm still waiting. I am waiting patiently. I don't know if I'll ever want it, but I'm waiting to see it. The first Park Chan-wook film I see without an inappropriate sexual moment.
What are you talking about? That is what they do. When I saw that, I went, no, I'm certain. So I'm like, of course it that's there. You just watch it and you go, of course. You're not even trying, are you? You just took their money and went, you guys don't even know what you're doing. I'm pretty sure he said, alright, hear what? I will allow you to ruin the old boy name in the West if you give me a movie. And like, alright, sure. And he just rubbed his hand. Oh, got something for you. And he did it. Magic.
Oh boy. Okay, so we've come to that time. Now, Damien, just like you watch Stoker and immediately in you, right? Number one. That happened to me. It happened a little later in the year, but it also happened to me. When I watch this movie, at the end, you know, just like you said, the movie is finished, the credits are rolling, I'm just pinned to my seat. I can't move. Right? And every movie after that, I'd watch and be like, it's good, but it's not that good. Right? And I think the only movie that maybe shook my resolve, and I think it's simply because of my bias, was Before Midnight.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't shake it that hard. Actually, no, it didn't really shake it.
Kind of brushed up against
it. Yeah. There is a wide enough gap between this movie and everything else. And this movie is... And if you listen to other podcasts, you know already, it's The Hunt. Because this is the year of Mads Mikkelsen. Actually, this is the decade. This is the lifetime of Mads Mikkelsen. I don't know why I like him so much.
He's
right?
Pretty good. He is. At all the movies we've seen him in.
Yeah. But have you watched The Hunt?
Mm-mm.
Oh, Damien. Oh, and I'm actually concerned that this is not in Andrew's top 10.
It got
because
kicked
he
out
has
by Fruitvale.
Watched The Hunt.
It got kicked out by
Fruitvale. And this is nowhere near as bad or as less good as Fruitvale is. The Hunt, Damien.
Right, you told me about it.
Damien.
And I want to watch it.
Damien.
All of my being.
Damien. Mads Mikkelsen apparently plays with little children. That's what this movie is about. But he doesn't really.
No one likes.
Vedasino Chima.
Bend down, man.
Vedasino Chima.
Hola, Brugas.
Vedasino Chima.
Tjern du rolig.
Kom nu.
Hola, Brugas.
Tjern du rolig.
Helt byen står og hører på dig, man. Tjern du rolig, ikke?
Sig det.
Tjern du rolig, Lukas.
Sig du pæs.
Kom nu af, Lukas.
Kom. Hvad vil du sige, man?
Hvad vil du sige?
Stop ham.
Hvad?
Det kan du godt lide, han op med den fucking psykopat.
Jeg har lov til lige at snakke med Fjord. Prøv at kigge. Så kig lige ind i mine øjne.
Kig ind i mine
øjne. Kig ind i mine øjne. Kig. Hvad kan du se? Kan du se noget? Så ser du bare en ting. Der er en ting.
And no one likes it.
We don't play those games.
And guess what? No matter whether you did or did not fiddle with somebody's child, they still don't like you. They still don't. And that's what this movie is about. And Damien, just minute after minute, you kind of get more and more tense. And you just want the rest of the world to know.
What you know.
What you know. And they don't.
And they don't care to
know. And then
no,
there's another side of you that's like, yeah, no, I kind of get what the other world is doing right now.
No one wants to hear it, dog. Let's be serious.
And, you know, it just it plays, well, it doesn't really play with your emotions, but you get so, or at least I got so invested in this movie, to the extent where, you know, you look at it and you're just like, Mads, you need to like do a comedy show and make these people like you again or something. But it's just,
that's what Hannibal is.
God, I love Hannibal.
Hannibal is back next
like,
month.
You're describing a movie that reminds me a lot of Little Children.
Oh, okay.
And
again, we had this conversation already, and clearly I have not seen that part of the movie because I did not realize that.
I love that movie. And no, it's not the exact same premise, you know.
Yeah.
But it's bringing up the same, you know, molesting little children and, you know, how people deal with it. And I'm always fascinated by how people, because not a lot of people take on that subject matter because it is not pleasant. And I like to see, you know, what directors do with that. But what you're describing sounds like something, I mean, outside of Mads being in it, even if you weren't in it, that premise alone sounds like something that I want to watch. And I can't wait till I actually get a chance to see it because it sounds incredible. Andrew had it close to his top 10, which means it is better than Stoker. It's also better than Before Midnight.
Which is a fact, people. My list is fact. They are just guessing.
Yeah, you know what else is a fact? You're full of shit. But yeah, like, I really, really want to watch Gravity and that movie. Those are the two that I haven't seen. And kind of hate myself for not seeing because I figured that they'd be somewhere in the top 10. And I've thrown out like two of the action. I'd have, the only summer blockbuster movie that I wasn't going to remove was Star Trek, because it's my favorite. But the other two I could have gotten rid of and put those two movies in there somewhere. But I'll see it eventually. And then decry all of this. But you're done, right?
Yeah, I'm done.
I'd said there's two movies that I like more than Before Midnight. Stoker is the one. But there's a movie that Andrew saw in 2012, despite the movie not being released in 2012.
That's one that I really want to watch and did not watch. I guess that's my hunch.
Andrew is doing being a dirtbag about it. No, he's not. He's not really.
Oh,
Andrew's looking at
wait.
Really bad.
I know what movie this is. Sorry. This is my movie.
But my true 2013 winner is Zero Dark Thirty.
Mm-hmm.
It is the movie that I've seen
it's
this year
movie.
That, beyond it, like, it, that is the movie that I'm bringing the most to, because I listened to a lot of news. I knew all of this story. I knew it back to front. Me and my sister, we talk about these things all the time. She's in love with American politics for some reason. And I enjoy seeing the work as a bleak, dark place that no good can come out of. So it's like a perfect mixture. And watching essentially 7 years on film and just watching Jessica Chastain just ruin everybody else's chance of winning anything. You just go, this movie, from top to bottom, because for most of the movie, it's not an action movie. It is a suspense movie, but you know everything that happens.
Where comedians pop up everywhere.
Right? And you watch it and you go, this is incredible. How are they doing this? And then, right at the very end, where you're like, alright, we're going for Bin Laden, and we're going to shoot him in the face. The movie just transforms into this incredible action set piece. And then the movie ends. And you're like, you goddamn, like, it is one of the few movies that at the end of it, you're like, America. America! Fuck! Like, it's so good. Like, they manipulate, you feel yourself being manipulated the entire way. And then you go, no, but this happened. This is not manipulation. Sure, they're bending some of the story in order to fit this movie, but you feel motivated, you feel all the emotions, And when they finally shoot him in the face, you know it's going to happen. And you're happy to watch it. Like, you're happy to see something on a screen that you know happened in real life. That takes work. You have to be really good at making movies in order to get... Like, we've seen people shoot Hitler many times. And you're nowhere near as happy to see that as I was when they shot Bin Laden. And I knew it happened. Like, this is a thing that happened in real life. And for that alone, like, this is one of the movies that I'll take with me. This is, like, I put this in the Ikiru Rambo pantheon. Like, nothing is coming close to this movie. These are movies that, if they said, Damien, you have to pick, like, a handful of movies because we're blowing all the shit up, it goes there. I'm carrying that movie with me. So that is the true number one. It technically came out in 2012. Although it really came out in 2013, there's a gray area, and I could use it to cheat. Is what I did. So, congratulations.
That's fine. I don't know if you guys have many honorable mentions, but instead of getting into a long laundry list of films that didn't quite make our cut, I want to ask this one question. And if this fails, we can just do the honorable mentions as is. But I want to ask, what is the one movie that's not in your list?
Mm-hmm.
That you feel most likely the other people in the room haven't seen, or you're hoping they had seen, to maybe kind of push into.
Yes, I've seen all the movies that.
I know there's one which I want to ask if you've seen. I don't know if you've seen it because you haven't talked about it, and it seems very much your kind of movie. All
right.
It's Johnny To's Drug War.
No, I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it.
No. I've heard about it though. I hear that
it's one of my honorable mentions, and I quite adore the film. It's like one of the best gritty cop movies you're going to see. And it has such a fluid motion to it that it just works so well. I love it. I'll lend you the Blu-ray. You can go and give it a gander this week.
I don't know if I can answer that question. But what I will say is I have an honorable mention that if Damien hasn't watched it, I think he will probably hate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to answer that question. And
movie?
That is Francis Ha.
Have you seen Francis Ha?
Oh, you say I didn't even...
I talked about it with Andrew.
Oh, okay.
I've seen that movie three times this year.
Okay.
It's very close to the top 10.
I
love that movie.
That movie's decent.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
I like her.
Me too.
I like the use of black and white. And sure, there's way too much singing and dancing. At least for me. But it's still... I still enjoyed it. I don't have anything like that. All my movies are movies you've seen. Drinking Buddies. I like that. Fruitvale Station. I like that. In and Body Saints.
Yep.
The only reason it's not there
is because
it.
I took it.
And
I saw you going down towards it, and I was like, okay.
And Monsters Yui.
I saw that movie.
I like that a lot.
That movie's alright.
I
like that movie a lot.
I love Monsters Inc.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this. I especially love the end part. Like we talked about when we were talking about the movie, where they kind of explained how horror works. And it's the first movie to have ever done so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cartoon. And they did it. They showed, you know, like the steps how to manipulate people in order to think something scary is happening. And I don't understand how other horror movies haven't come to that realization, but Pixar is freaking Pixar, and when they set their minds to doing something, they do it well. I love it a lot, but it didn't fit on the top 10. So that's it. That's pretty much all my honorable mentions.
Okay. I guess the only other big honorable mention I have, which is a movie that, like, that hasn't been mentioned so far. There are other ones, but this one is one of my favorite comedies this year. That I feel like it overachieved so much, and it's This Is the End.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is a movie I thought you were going for when
no.
you were, because I thought it was hilarious when I saw it the first time. So I was like, oh, that was fun. And then when I made Douglas watch it later on in the year. This just blows out of the water everything I thought. Like, this movie
Like,
yeah,
it could have
been
a train wreck.
And you have to understand, it probably should have been a train wreck.
This is the same year that Edgar Wright brought out The World's End, which I like a lot, but it didn't hit me the way all of his other movies have,
yeah,
right? And I don't want to put it in any list at this point.
Hot Fuzz is one, and then Shaun of the Dead is two, and then this is three.
No,
I love Hot Fuzz.
Well, you see, my problem is I watched them in order, Shaun of the Dead first, and I love Shaun of the Dead. I actually loved it immediately. Hot Fuzz, not so much. I actually liked Hot Fuzz about the same amount that I like Shaun of the Dead now.
Mm-hmm.
Not Shaun of the Dead.
The World's End.
Which is, I'm like, not sure if I really like it that much. But as I watched the Hot Fuzz more, I grew to just absolutely adore it. But for some reason, I kind of have that sort of first movie syndrome with Shaun of the Dead and put it up a little bit more. And I'm hoping that The World's End will do the same thing that Hot Fuzz did for me, which is, as I watch it more, there'll just be more and more things for me to love about.
Mine is the reverse. I saw Shaun of the Dead and went, it's a funny zombie comedy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Then saw Hot Fuzz and lost my goddamn mind. This is incredible! But it kind of makes sense. Hot Fuzz had more action.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it was more tailored
to you.
Nonsense that I want.
Of course.
Especially, like, you remember how Hot Fuzz starts with the accident?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Like, I think Hot Fuzz works the most for most people. And I think for us, because when I first saw Hot Fuzz, I like movies, but I wasn't really paying attention like the way I am now. And when you watch Hot Fuzz, you kind of understand the way that Edgar Wright likes to call back to all the things that, if you like this genre,
mm-hmm,
you're going to know and love. And it's a multiplier of how much you love a movie as to how many of those things you get. Like, when I watch that movie and they'll talk about Bad Boys,
mm-hmm,
but then later on they'll show you the Bad Boys shot.
Yeah.
Right? They don't have to say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You just know it, and you're with Edgar Wright. It feels like he's a friend in the room watching the movie with you, and he's like, I like that movie too. With The World's End, and they've been actually vocal about this, they weren't quite as clear with what their references are. And I guess it's also a genre which I'm not that familiar with, so I'm not going to get everyone.
Right.
But as I'm watching that movie, there are bits that I love more and more, but it's not yet at that level for me.
Yeah. I mean, from my, like, it felt like someone watched Bad Boys. I went, what if we did this but made it more dumb? Yeah, I'd like to see that. That's what they did. Like, not a big zombie person, because zombie is usually used in horror films. And I only give Shaun of the Dead a chance because they said zombies is in it. But let's be clear. Alright, let's watch this. And, like, some of the more overt references in the zombie things I got immediately. Because we've all seen, like, Night of the Living Dead and stuff like that.
I really like that movie, by the way.
And
that movie's awesome.
But then there's, as Andrew said, there's a lot of things in the zombie things that I don't get and will never get, because I'm never going to go back and dig deep enough to get some of those references. But the broad comedy jokes, I can still get, and I still enjoy going back and watching it. And this, like, this is The World's End. I like it a lot. And I know the more I see it, I like it even more, because there will be a lot of extra madness that I didn't see right away. But I still, like, right now it is still below Shaun of the Dead, because I've only seen it once. And I guess when I see it some more times, I'll hopefully like it more.
Okay. Well, that was our top 10 of the year. I think we can all agree, as much as we disagree with each other's lists. It was a fucking awesome year for movies.
I disagree with that 100%. First 3 months of the year, so it was so bad. Right? We went to watch Oz because it was the first movie where maybe this one will be good. It wasn't. We had to wait for The Cruise. The Cruise was what? End of March? Something like early April? It was horrible. Thank God for summer.
Remember when Iron Man came out, we were jumping up and down.
A movie that was not mentioned.
Oh my god! It's been so long.
A movie with all the biases was never mentioned in this conversation at all.
Well, no, you know what? Never mentioned this.
I'm playing.
The only person that would put Iron Man in their top 10 would be Damon. I don't like it that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, as usual, you can hear the podcast over at gmanreviews.com or through iTunes and Stitcher. I, as always, you can find on Twitter at gmanreviews, Damien.
I'm at Damien.
And Douglas.
I'm at Douglas.
funny. I'm on Twitter as with Andrew and Damien. DJR lost his name. I'm actually on another website too. Yes.
I don't know what other website.
Yeah, It just started this year. Hopefully I stick with it. Hopefully it works out and becomes something good. But it actually has nothing to do with movies. It's a whole other thing. It's more what I do for a living. It's just talking about investments and stuff. So it's decaffeinationreport.com. If you guys want to go there and see the two posts that I have done, go ahead, you know, tell me how horrible it is.
It's really horrible.
Yeah.
If I know anything about Douglas,
Cole never bothered me anyway. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small. And the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break the loop. No light, no rope, no rules for me.